Hey everybody, welcome to the Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Stephen Adeboye, and as you know, I've kind of taken a bit of time just looking at a few things that I want to do for the podcast going forwards. For season 3, we've had a few guests chime in, having some deep discussions about their business practice, but also just their personal philosophy with life. And I decided going forwards to start sharing a bit more of my views on just being the best version of yourself. And so to really do that is to get wisdom from others who've done it before, but also reading books. And one of the books that I picked up recently was The Way of the Superior Man by David Deida. So before you all start thinking about, well, what does that mean, The Way of the Superior Man and all that stuff, to just make it very clear, it's more to do with being the best version of yourself, and it is accessible for men and women if they want to get insight into what a man's journey is in this world. So definitely a good insight, and I want to take a bit of time to actually express my viewpoints on the book, but I definitely want all of you to at least pick up the book, give it a read, and maybe we can have a follow-up discussion on some of the topics that were discussed in the book, because it is a short book, but there's so many things, so many gems to sort of pick up on that I think would benefit anyone's journey in life, especially if a man in this era, especially with what we're going through with the pandemic, but also some of the back and forth conversations that are happening in terms of what masculinity is all about. So just to also elaborate on a couple of things, I think when we look at being strong, being, you know, in your masculine, in terms of your mission, your drive and your purpose, sometimes it gets very misunderstood in terms of going for that sort of goal and putting people down. And I would like to just clarify that element of drivenness to hurt others in the process is in fact not ideal for any man to pursue. And the whole journey of being a man and going through all these challenges, but also finding your identity in this world and going for what you really want in life, is about yourself and how to be the best version of yourself, but also how that reflects on the relationships you have with other people. So to clarify, this is not a book about dominance. This is a book about being a better version of yourself. So one of the interesting things about the book is a interesting discussion about the polarities in terms of energies. And we have, just like how we have the sun and the moon, just like how we have earth and water, we have masculine energy and feminine energy. And these energies are not defined by a gender, but it's kind of an embodiment of what you are in terms of your gift to the world. So you can have a masculine man and a feminine woman. You can have a feminine man match with a masculine woman. And in the book, it even talks about relationships with the same gender, where there is that polarity that exists between the masculine and feminine. So again, it's not gender specific, but it's very interesting how it describes it. So it's a dance, it's a balance between the two to sort of work towards building a great relationship. Because if you have two of the same energies, it's not necessarily going to drive the conversation or drive the movement towards what you want to achieve in the overall goal of a relationship. And when you have this discussion, it can lose that polarity. That's kind of what the book is kind of mentioning in so many words. And again, I'm not the best in terms of speaking about that. That's why I feel like it's best to go to the book to get a better understanding. But in all essence, it does talk about relationships a lot in the book. And knowing that we are in this amazing journey in life, and whilst it's great to be on your own, to sort of strive to be the best version of yourself, what happens is in life you interact with different people, but you also interact with someone who is a partner in your life that comes in the form of a relationship that can help better yourself in a certain period of time, or maybe if you're lucky, a lifetime. But it recognizes that in order for that to happen to the best of its ability, those energies need to dance with each other and not have that contradiction or that clash. So that's why it's really focusing on the two feminine and masculine energies. the book really specifies in the masculine aspect because it is obviously trying to sort of speak to men in that sense, but it's also trying to teach men how to understand the feminine energy in terms of your relationships, but also with the world as well. So another key point in the book, which is a chapter about completion and how we in life search for completed moments. So this is something that I've recently been learning more about and discovering and even challenging myself in terms of what that is. And to give a example, I think for me, you know, going into school, secondary school, for example, and doing my GCSEs and getting the grades to then do my A-levels to get the grades to go to university, and then getting the grades in university to get a professional job, and then getting a professional job in a consultancy firm and saying I want the promotion, and then saying I'm not happy with things and then deciding to move on and do something else. We're always looking for the next big thing, and we're never fully present in terms of our current situation, our current experience. And we always have this rat race mentality to sort of try to find the next goal or try to find a thing that will make us feel better from the moment we are in right now to the moment that we're trying to move into. And mentally speaking, it is a toll on you because you're never fully satisfied. You're always going for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And I think that can be a healthy drive if you are trying to better yourself. But ultimately speaking, you can look at your current situation right now. If you have a experience of 10 years working in a professional job and saying, okay, I want to retire soon. So what happens when you retire? You're going to, you know, drink some cocktails in the beach and then what? You know, you're going to need that purpose and you're going to need something to keep you living because you need to contribute to society. So ultimately speaking, we need to be really present about where we are and what we are doing today should be maximized. And I think that book kind of highlighted a lot of things in my life, and I hope, you know, for those who are reading the book, you gain that perspective as well. So another point that I'd like to mention on the book, which is living at your edge, optimal edge, I would say. And to just clarify what that is, when we look at our entire existence in life, we have hopefully many years of great moments, many years of trying to be the best versions of ourselves. But sometimes we put some days on hold and say, okay, I'm gonna have a lazy day and just, you know, let that lazy day become a lazy week and let that lazy week become a lazy month. And before you know it, half the year's gone and you haven't really achieved anything. And especially with where we are right now, as I record this, we are in a pandemic, we are in lockdown. And there is that need to sort of have some self-reflection and almost ease the brakes a little, or ease the gas rather. So that's good because we need to recuperate. But at the same time, are we living our best lives? Are we doing the most we can? Because we as humans and as people, we need to sort of work towards living each day to its optimal. And that doesn't mean being overstressed and burning out trying to do pieces of work that don't satisfy your needs. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you go out and try to overkill yourself to pursue your purpose. But you have to find what that edge is. You got to find, what am I doing each day that can take me to the point where if I go to bed at night, I'm satisfied? Because the same thing I talked about with presence, it's the same thing I'm talking about by living by your edge. It's taking chances, it's taking the elements of discomfort and being comfortable and building that callus to sort of continue to build the strength to pursue the dreams that you have, to pursue the goals that you have. Another chapter in the book that I discuss is never changing your mind for others. One thing that is so easy to do is have an idea in your mind and really in your gut and your mind know this is where you're going with it, and then trying to change it because you want to please others. Now, I'm not stressing that someone who has an idea and you blocking their viewpoints and saying, you know, I don't agree with this and I'm just going to go with that gut feeling and what's in my mind. No, I think you should listen to people and you should take that on board and you should use that to shape your ideas. But ultimately speaking, especially with the book and especially with what we're talking about, this is about making a decision that would lead to an authentic feedback. So, for example, if I was at work and me being a specialist in a certain area, say, okay, this is the direction I want to go, they trust me because it's my viewpoint. I've had the experience. And whilst I am open to that feedback, if they decide to take the reins and say, you know what, this is where we're going, this is what I want to do, and I see those limitations and it fails, well then, cool. I can say it was their idea. Therefore, I don't get the accountability of that blame. And I can say, well, I told you so. But if it does succeed, I can't share that fully. That's not mine. That's their idea. And we can lean towards that in certain situations, but you will never gain the overall confidence to say that you are a specialist because you're now relying on other people's opinions to shape who you are and shape the direction of what you're specialized in. So it's better for you to be wrong so that you can get the feedback to develop yourself, to be better and build that confidence so that people can trust you. And I think in today's world, we need to be leaning on people we can trust. And the only way we can trust the people around us is to know that they can trust themselves with the decisions they're making for themselves. And knowing that there's an accountability that exists where if it doesn't work, that they will take ownership of that and they can learn from that experience and move forwards to provide a better outcome. So again, trusting yourself, believing what you feel is important and showcasing that in a very understandable way for others to learn and lean on your understanding is something that I think is very pivotal in today's world. So a key chapter in the book is to find your purpose. And for those who are unfamiliar with what that is, it's really finding your strengths and finding the things that really drive you in terms of what you want to achieve in life. Sometimes we look at our careers and we stumble into a career that, yes, we are very good at, or it provides us with a lot of benefits, financially speaking or status-wise, but it's not really something we will do for the rest of our lives, even though the benefits are high. We don't want to pursue that long-term because it's not driving our desire for what we like to say makes us happy or makes us content. So it's a hard thing to really talk about because my purpose is different to the purpose that you want to achieve in your life. And if there was some sort of website where you can find your purpose, I'm sure there's a questionnaire somewhere. Definitely do the research to see what strengths you have and how you can sort of find something that's going to keep you passionate in the long haul, because that is important. Because so many times we spend our lives doing small tasks that really go nowhere, or we're serving, you know, someone else's dream, and as good as the benefits may be, they're not really yours to claim and say that's my recognition to the world that I've done something that's contributing to a bigger cause. And I think it's very different to depending on who you are. Sometimes you want to be recognized and you want to have your names on big lights. And other times you want to be in a community of people who are doing some good. And that's fine. You don't have to be status driven to find your purpose, but you got to find something that really motivates you. You know, for me, even though I have a career, this podcast for me is me striving to fulfill my purpose because I love, one, self-development, two, I love the conversations I have with entrepreneurs and people who are really striving for their goals, but also who are living their truth. I'm sure with purposes, they do change. You know, today I'm doing the podcast and tomorrow I might be doing something else. So it's not a static thing and you should allow that to grow as you, you know, move on with your life. But finding what that is to begin with is so crucial because that helps to sort of keep you focused and keep you motivated every time you wake up. And every time you go to bed, you know you've achieved something that is leading towards a bigger goal. So the final thing I really want to talk about is a chapter in the book where it talks about being open for criticism from your friends. And so often in this time, we're very much receptive to getting information that might sound negative, but it's actually critical for our self-development. And at least from the masculine frame of being driven, finding your purpose, and becoming the best version of yourself, it's good to surround yourself with people who are willing to give you constructive criticism so that you can better yourself, and not to look at it from a negative standpoint to say, okay, that person's putting me down, or they don't want me to succeed. And you have to obviously understand, you know, what difference is. But if you have a good amount of people that really value who you are and value where you want to go in life, then do be open to that, because so many times we are stuck in our own head thinking that we know everything more than anyone else in this world. But I'm sure we've known people who've been there before. I'm sure we've known people who've gone through similar situations, and we can learn from each other. And so I guess I want to just wrap up this whole sort of book review and say, you know, I've learned a lot from the book, and I haven't really gone deep in terms of other sort of subject matters that it talks about, but I'm more than willing to sort of accept criticism and conversations coming out of this podcast, because I think there are so many ways to learn and grow. And instead of, you know, having that internalized, it's good to share that information. And for me, this is why I do the podcast. I like to sort of have those conversations. So I encourage you guys to pick up the book. I encourage you guys to hopefully have an open discussion with myself, or maybe we can have a follow-up and talk about other aspects of the book. But like I said, I think purpose is really important. And when you have that as a forefront of your mission in life, I think things do come to place. So stay focused, stay driven, keep improving, and treat each other with kindness, and treat yourself with dignity and strength. And always remember that each day is an opportunity to better yourself. Thanks for listening.